Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight. What's this? I hear the drums. The drums are playing. It must mean that Mudtoe is in the studio tonight and not in his car somewhere trying to do the show over his cell phone. Not going to have to listen to his voice cutting in and out as he gets closer to and further from towers. No. Today, you are hearing Mudtoe as he was meant to be heard. Thank you. Welcome for and thank you for joining me this evening. This is Mudtoe at Midnight. I am your host, Mudtoe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me on a rainy evening here in my large city in the Midwest. By rainy, I do mean rainy. It hasn't rained hard, but it has rained consistently. And it has rained all evening. It's those annoying kind of rains. One of those rains that's actually very nice if you don't have to go out in them. But I had to be out in the rain most of the evening, although I didn't get rained on. I had a roof over my head. But there was rain all around me, and if I wanted to get from one piece of roof to another piece of roof, I had to go through the rain. Because it's not the worst thing in the world that could happen to someone, but driving in the rain is quite an annoyance, too. You can't, first of all, there's always a trouble with temperature adjustment on the defoggers. You know, it wants to make you turn the defogger temperature way up high to make it so you can see past that oncoming those oncoming headlights coming at you all the time. But it makes the inside of the car quite unlivable. So you just have to kind of wait for things to even themselves out. Once I got back to the freeway, it wasn't so bad. And driving on two-lane blacktop at night in a steady rain takes a lot of concentration. And I'm just really not into concentration, so. But I'm here. I'm back in my comfortable, warm apartment. Dry. No leaks. There is actually a leak somewhere in my apartment. It's not somewhere. I know where it is. But it's on the ceiling of the second floor. Some water evidently collected in a spot underneath it, and there's like a bubble, and a crack has opened up, and just enough that when we get a lot of rain, enough rain for water to accumulate in that same spot, it starts dripping out of there. So it's kind of a drip, drip, drip. I have a bucket underneath it. I let Iggy know about it, and then I promptly left town for a week, so I never followed up with him. And that's something that's going to have to put on my constantly lengthening to-do list, because I'm afraid Mudtoe has not been as diligent about keeping up with his work as he might. I will confess that to you. Before I get into that, let me finish the housekeeping tasks here. This is the With Insights channel on Blog Talk Radio, and you can catch Iggy and Rosa's show on Mondays at 6. They do intuitive readings. Tuesday at 7 is the Intuitive Voice Hour with Jenny Seek, who's very sweet. I like her very much. And Wednesday is Heather Tapia's show. I like it. Now I've set myself up. I can't have it sound like I'm still playing favorites. I like Heather, too. Heather's very nice, and she's very business-oriented type of person. You're going to hear a lot about how to manifest what it is that you want in your life in a businessy kind of way, through her entrepreneurial excellence is the name of the show on Wednesdays. Then you've got me, Fridays at Midnight, and I've told the story several times of how I got talked into doing a show on Fridays at Midnight, so we won't have to go there again. You can go back
Well, if you can find it, you can go back into the show archive. There's the show archive on Blog Talk Radio's website is, of course, complete. The show archive on my website reflects the state of my attentiveness to detail over the past 6 weeks or so. In other words, not so complete, not so much as Blog Talk Radio's certainly is. Again, another thing for my to-do list. Now, let's see, we did that. There's one other thing I should mention, and it's not coming to the front of my head right now, so maybe it will later. We can just get right into it then, if you'd like. I'm still unemployed. My friends might take issue with that. They say that I'm a writer, and therefore I can't be unemployed. My unemployed, and I totally get what they're saying. By unemployed, I mean like a more traditional sort of definition of unemployed. I don't go to a job that I don't own, a job that somebody else owns and tells me when to show up and sets the rules and so forth, which maybe not my favorite. Well, there are things to be said. I enjoyed, I've had that job, kind of job for the past 4.5 years, and it was a job I enjoyed very much. It just depends on what kind of boss you have, I guess. And it's also gratifying to be able to pay your bills. You know, I'm paying my bills now with some money that I've put away, but that won't last forever. I want to pay more attention to my writing, but that's, you know, it's even under the most optimistic of evidence of estimates. I mean, some time is going to go by, some months, perhaps years are going to go by some months or years are going to go by before that pays off. I think that's one of the appeals of the show. It's comic appeal of me being half asleep when I do it, because it's Friday at midnight and I'm 47 years old and I shouldn't be doing this anymore. I really shouldn't. It's much too late for me. I've gotten into this terrible habit of staying up very late. I mean, staying up through the night and sleeping for most of the day. And that really does slow you down, because most sort of official business has to get done during the day. And so I have, here's my gas bill that still has to be paid. I have to write the check, put it in the envelope, walk, and put it in the mailbox. And I haven't done it yet because after dark, I'm nervous about going and walking to the mailbox in my wonderful large city in the Midwest. So anyway, there was a point I was going to make there. Oh, yes, it's sometimes sometimes that the narrative gets very confused. And the reason it gets very confused is that I get very confused. That's, I guess there are a few people out there anyway who don't seem to mind that. This is what I wanted to say before. If you want to get in touch, I've got Twitter Fall open, which is one of my favorite programs. Let me open it up, see if anything has happened. Nope, nothing has happened. But see, if you tweet me on Twitter, if you tweet me a tweet, it'll show up on Twitter Fall. It's called a tweet syndication program. It's not part of Twitter, but it accesses Twitter's tweets by keyword. So if you tweet with the word Mudtoe Sasquatch in it, it'll pop up on my screen. I will see it. So that's a nice way that you could communicate with me in real time, because I'm not going to give you the phone and the call-in number, because I don't like it. We have a call-in number, and I have used it occasionally. And it has good things have come from it for me. And they have that's the show Iggy and Rosa do is all call-in. That's all they do. So to counterbalance that, I don't do any call-in. And part of it is just it was a technology thing. I couldn't make the switchboard work right. Now I think I've got that figured out. So I just have to say I don't want to do it and put it at that. I guess on certain special occasions I will give out the call-in number, but for now I'm not going to. I'm just going to direct you to Twitter Fall, and we will communicate in there. Actually, it's not Twitter. I'm not directing you to Twitter Fall. I'm directing you to Twitter, and you can tweet your tweet, and I'll answer it, either there or on the mail or both. On the air or both, on the mail. Jeez. More tired than usual. I just, as I was saying before, well, what happened was I do this Friday night football thing, and I had when I'm done with it, I bring my camera back, and we upload. I upload. Well, I say we. All of us who do this upload our games to their server in Football Central, wherever it is. And I got a note from my regional supervisor saying that my last three games I had transmitted, and then there was a fourth one that I had just done but hadn't transmitted yet. I had done it the day before I got the note. That they had come back and not they hadn't gotten transmitted right. And it's just this kind of odd way they do it. I have to download something onto my computer. It's a program that takes my video and converts it to whatever format it is they need. Last year, we had to do that ourselves. So it's nice that we don't have to do that anymore. They do it for us. But something was going wrong in the translation, and my video wasn't coming out right on the other end. So they asked me to make a few changes and go ahead and retransmit all four of those videos. And the problem there is that I don't have a particularly fast internet connection. I don't have a particularly fast computer. It can take anywhere up to 7 hours. More typically, it's 4 or 5. But one of the games it happened to be a long game took 7 hours to transmit. And then while that's happening, I'm upstairs on my other computer preparing the next, so I can cut some time down, some overlap while I've got dead time on my transmitting computer. I'm upstairs on my video editing computer doing the preparations that I need to make. So long story short, too late. Not a lot of sleep for my toe because I just didn't plan it well. I keep working until I was about ready to pass out at 6 in the morning. And then I'd sleep all day, and then I couldn't get to sleep at night. So made the first sort of effort towards changing that. I had to because I had an appointment yesterday. My brother was in a show, in a play, the first one he's done in many years. At one time he had aspired to be, well, that's not fair, he was a professional actor. He worked in Chicago, and he worked with a Shakespeare company that specialized in performances for high schools. But he did some other things while he was in Chicago, too, and he ended up giving it up because he couldn't get ahead. He just seemed like he'd start to get ahead, and then something would happen, and then he'd have to put a bunch of money into it. He'd be back behind. I think eventually he wanted to move out to Los Angeles, but that did not occur. He came back to the small town in the Midwest where we both grew up. And he is working now as a community college teacher. And he's also running an adult education GED program at our old high school. Two very cool things. And he was invited to be in a play, and he hasn't been in a play for a while, so he's very much looking forward to it. And he found what I found when I hadn't done a play for a while and then tried to go back and do it, was that memorizing the lines wasn't near as easy as it did when I was younger, when he was younger. And he was, I know he was very stressed about it, whether he was going to be able, he has the main part in the show, and whether he was going to have a bunch of long speeches and then some things where they're just kind of, it's very short. There's parts of it where he's pretending to be a small boy and he's arguing with his sister. And so you know how those kind of things sound, and they were trying to make that realistic, and it's the very choppy, and the there's not a that the line of logic is kind of difficult to follow. It was nice. I went to see it. I had to go see it on Thursday night, which was not one of the regular performances. It was actually their last rehearsal, but I had to go because I had things to do all three nights of the performance, and I just couldn't go on any of those nights. But I think it's good to know people. The director and the female lead in the show were both people I had worked with a lot during my community theater days, and were very nice. Let me come and sit in the empty house while they work their way through the show one last time. They're having some extreme difficulties with the lighting. They had not had the lighting board in their hands until like 2 days before the show. I think there was no instruction manual. They didn't know how to make it work. And they were using some space. They had rented some space from the high school, and the person who was in charge of getting what they needed, wasn't real interested in doing that. And he's an assistant athletic director and had this sort of room rental thing as one of his collateral duties, and he didn't seem to take to it much at all. So there was a lot of hair pulling. I know that day I was there, which was yesterday, they had there was a girls volleyball game going on. The gym is right on the other side. There's like a big open area, and then the gymnasium is on one side and this theater is on the other side. Well, there was a volleyball game going on, and when the games are over, you know, they feed the teams. And I didn't even know they still did that. They did that when I was in high school. Some places you'd go and they'd, you know, after the game was over, even sometimes if we were the visiting team, we'd go and they'd feed both teams. The mothers of the team would make a big spaghetti dinner or something and you'd eat, and it was great. Well, they were going to feed the volleyball team, but they were going to do it in the theater where they were supposed to be rehearsing, where my brother and these other people were supposed to be rehearsing. So that had to be straightened out at the last minute. These things that they just don't take care of themselves, and it sort of reminds me of the way I've been living for the past 6 weeks or so. There's just lots of things in my life that just don't take care of themselves. Almost seems somehow as if they did, because they were running in the background while I was doing my main thing, which is the work and working on my PhD program. But now those things are gone. The routine things, just when I guess I don't know whether it's that I have to think about them now, but it seems like drudgery somehow to do those things, to keep them going. Whether it reminds me that I don't have those other things in my life anymore, I'm not sure. I'm not really sure about all of that and how it works. But I did get to see my brother in that show, which was very gratifying. Today was another football game, my seventh of the season, two more to go. Next week, by the way, is it's not in town, but it's a shorter trip. So I certainly should be able to get back, I would think, in time to do this show on the studio, on my computer, and not on the dreaded cell phone. The last game of the season, I've never heard of a school. I have no idea where I'm going. So that should be fun. But in any case, by the last Friday of October, the dreaded cell phone shows should be gone for another year. Actually, I've been doing cell phone shows from my parents' house because I don't have access to the wireless. It's set up. They have wireless, but it's set up for my brother's Mac, and we haven't been able to get it. It's just like Mac is Mac and PC is PC, and never the twain shall meet. We can't make my PC, my little netbook, work on it. So that's that. But I use the internet there while people are awake, because the modem is in my parents' bedroom, my father's bedroom specifically. I have to plug in, you know. It's not wireless anymore, it's wired. Well, I used to have a rather long I think it's called Ethernet connection. Is that what you call that thing that you plug in, where you plug into the modem? But anyway, whatever you call that thing, it looks like a big telephone cord. I used to have one that was just, you know, that would have easily gone from my dad's room to the room where I stay, which is my mom's room. She vacates the room. Am I a terrible son? My mother vacates a room, gives it to me when I stay there, and she goes and sleeps on the floor in the TV room. TV room that used to be my room. I tell her, I would sleep. You know, it's okay. I will sleep on the floor, Mom. My 72-year-old crippled up with arthritis mother's sleeping on the floor. And she tells me actually that sleeping on the floor is more comfortable for her in some ways, because getting out of bed is easier than I guess it's easier for her to roll off of the air mattress and pull herself up on the chair than it is for her to, you know, to kick her legs out from under the sheets and get up that way. Of course, the next logical question is, well, if it is easier, why don't you always sleep on the air mattress instead of maintaining your own room? But she's my mother. I don't want to start trouble, so I just leave it at that. She also cooks for me and does a lot of laundry while I'm there. 72 years old, crippled up with the arthritis, and I'm letting her do that. So I think there will be some, there will be a reckoning to be paid. There will be definitely be karmic consequences for that, I believe. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. What I've been thinking about a lot is when at other times in my life, when I've felt this way being sort of emasculated, sort of, you know, I always felt good about having an occupation. Now I don't have an occupation, and everybody remembers the occupation I had. And the first time they see me, they always ask me about it. And then I have to say, well, I'm just really not doing that anymore. It's, I already used the word. It's emasculating at the risk of you know, falling into those gendered roles. I feel like less of a man and therefore less of a human being. And it occurred to me that at times in my life when I've been in this situation in the past, and there have been several, at those times in my life, there's always been a woman in my life. And so that part of my masculinity was still being supported. Now, the woman that was in my life in each of these cases was not someone who was with me all the time. It wasn't someone I was married to, and it wasn't, you know, a steady girlfriend who lived down the street. These were all long-distance relationships, which seemed to be what I prefer for whatever reason. I'm sure I could go. I could probably spend several programs talking about that, but I'm not going to right now. What would happen was I would start to feel this sensation that I was less than a man, that I was less than a human. And I would jump in the car and I would drive to wherever she was. And it wasn't an insignificant drive. There's one of these ladies lived 8 hours away from me. I would drive there, sometimes driving all night. And then I'd get there and we would dive into bed. And after some point in time, it was a longer amount of time when I was younger, I would reach the point of exhaustion, and then I would feel better. You know, I would fall asleep, which is something I'd have trouble doing ordinarily, something I'm having trouble doing now. I'd fall asleep. I'd sleep like a baby. I'd get up, and she'd make me breakfast, or we'd go out to breakfast, and I would, my appetite would be back, and I'd eat bacon. Bacon is always good. But I guess what the point I'm very sort of clumsily driving to is, this is the first time I've had both of these. So I've even had other times in my life where I haven't had a woman in my life, but I had a job. You know, so I had a job, but I did have a woman in my life, or there was no woman in my life, but I did have my job, my occupation. This is the first time that I can recall in my adult life that I haven't had either one. And it sucks. It really, really sucks. Again, this is one of those things I have trouble feeling. I think there's an appropriate amount of pity one can feel for oneself. And I don't think I can get there because I always think, oh, of all the people who are so much worse off than I am. And there are many, or better, yeah, so much worse off than I am. Yes, there are many people who have much more to complain about, certainly, than I do. But they're not on this radio show, and I am. So I'm going to complain for myself because it's my show and I'm allowed. Looking, just checking here very quickly. I'm sorry, I don't multitask well. No, nothing. I'm told that there are people out there, that there's some sort of number on Blog Talk Radio that says how many people listen to each show. And Iggy and Jessica and Heather are constantly congratulating me on how many people I'm pulling. But the thing is, I never hear from any of you, so it's hard for me to know. I mean, are you, is anybody there? Did I tell that story? I think I already did. It's a song from 1776. Never mind. I would love to be able to answer your questions or at least respond to your questions, but I don't see them. So I'm told that people listen to the show. I'm wondering if people listen for 2 minutes and say, who is this idiot, and then click off. That's entirely possible. If you got something that you want me to talk about, or if something I've said has touched you in some way, that's really the point. You know, I'm setting myself up as a healer of society using the written and spoken word. That's what I'm, you know, that's why I go to, I was going to say Chief Clawpotter, but it's not Chief Clawpotter anymore, to the people, the national organization, and saying, this is my medicine, this is my modality, this is why I deserve to be called a medicine man. So that's why I'm on the radio, to put my words out there and let them be heard. And you know, it may be that I may never know. Perhaps that's my whatever word I'm looking for. It's not the right one, but I know. So I don't know why I'm still looking for it. Penance, is that the word? That maybe my, it's like the, is it, it's the Cassandra thing, that to know, to say things. It's not quite, because Cassandra's thing was, she was warning people of danger, and I'm not really doing that. But I'm speaking words, and I don't know. Oh, yeah, that just flashed on. Do you ever see Silent Running with Bruce Dern, a movie made in the early 70s? And they're out in space, and he's taking care of the trees. All the trees on Earth are dead, and they've got some out in space, you know, taking care of them. And then they get budget cuts in their order to destroy the trees, and he won't do it. Instead, he blasts them off, you know, out into space with robots to take care of them. And his line is, you know, when I was a kid, I threw a bottle in the ocean. You know, I put a piece of paper in it with my name and address and threw it in the ocean, and I never knew whether anybody ever found it. So those are kind of like my words right now, the words that I'm putting out into the internet right now are sort of like messages in a bottle. And I don't know if they're ever getting anywhere. They're just kind of floating around out there. It would be satisfying, but I realize it would primarily be satisfying to me. So I always say, I sort of whine every week, you know, tell me so I can make the show better. And I would like to make the show better. But mainly why I would like to hear from people is to know that that my words have touched you in some way, a good way or a bad way. Maybe you think I'm an idiot. That would be good to know. But at least I would know that my words had been heard and that there had been a reaction to them. So there's that, and I'm hoping that this same thing doesn't happen with my writing, that I don't put it out there and I never hear from anybody again. It just sort of whoop into the, and nobody says it, because I'm sort of counting on making a living off of that, and if nobody reads it, then that's going to be problematic. So I got here from telling you I used to drive to see long distance girlfriends and have wild sexual adventures with them to avoid thinking about my problems. Kind of a mature thing to do, I guess. Huh? I remember when she's the lady I drove the furthest to see. And I got out of the car, and, you know, I wanted to hit the sheet. She wanted to talk. And I said, "Hon, I've been thinking about you for 8 hours. We can talk later. Let's get this done." Boy, what a jerk I was. And damn. But anyway, we're down to our final minute. Thanks for listening to me. It's always a pleasure. I've got a little bit more work to do, not as much as I would on an ordinary Friday night, because the game got done very early because of the rain. Nobody threw a pass, and the game just flew on by. So I've already got most of my video transcribed. I have a couple more clicks to do, and I can get into bed and be ready for a big day tomorrow. Thanks once again for listening. Please tune in next week, and thank you very much.